I'm happy to conclude today here in Zurich with actually a neighbor of mine. We had to come all the way to Switzerland to get Chris Harold of Solitario Resources onto the podcast. You maybe remember Chris from prior iterations of Solitario Zinc, and we have not really had this conversation regarding this transformation of Solitario. It's not the same company, although some aspects of that Solitario Zinc still live within the portfolio. But Chris, really good to have you on. Good to see you.
Trevor, it's good to be here. And like you said, finally get to visit with you again here in Zurich.
Well, we wouldn't have been able to do it home because we lost power.
That's right. And it was off at least 24 hours.
Yeah, ours was off for 3 days. My wife was going mad.
Oh, wow.
She was going crazy. Anyways, it's great to have you on. Maybe let's start that 30,000-foot view, Chris. I mean, this Solitario, it's a different company than it once was. You brought on some new projects. Let's maybe talk about this change a little bit.
Right. 5 years ago, we were focusing on zinc. First of all, if we go back from the origins of Solitario. We were a gold-focused company, mm-hmm. and we did a lot of work in gold and fell upon a zinc property in Peru called Florida Canyon. It was an original discovery, great discovery. $80 million have been spent on it. We have a great joint venture partner, Nexa. We're carried to production. And then we acquired the Lick Zinc property back in 2017, another really good project, high grade, open pittable. But what we found is we were really fond of looking for gold. Much more exciting as a geologist, and I think much more exciting to most investors. So we went back into gold about 3 years ago. The two zinc properties still live on. They're still being advanced by our partners. We're not the managers of this. So it afforded us the opportunity to go really back to our roots, start looking for gold. And fortunately, the first thing that we took on in the gold space was our new Golden Crest property in South Dakota. Yeah. And that's been a wonderful 3-year journey so far.
Okay, so maybe we don't have 3 years to tell the story, but with this project, obviously it's very close to the old home stake. You have share a border with Dakota Gold. Talk to us about landing yourself back in South Dakota. And what do you have that maybe home stake did have or didn't have, and how it also looks different to what your partners or your friends at Dakota Gold look at?
Yeah, this area that we currently control, it's 33,000 acres. It's on Forest Service land. It's a very large land position, and we got into it from a small private company that had found a few sniffs of gold on surface that's about seven miles from the home state mine. And what we found over this 3-year period was, one, nobody had worked on this project. It was dormant for 120 years. Homestake was the largest gold mine in the United States for virtually its entire history. It started in the 1870s, and it finished mining in 2002 when gold price dropped to low 200s. Mm-hmm. There was still a lot of gold left in Homestake mine, but it was too deep. Gold price wasn't there. Homestake pulled out. And this area, which again lies about 8 miles to the southwest of Homestake, it just wasn't explored. And there was a few sniffs of gold that the people we leased the original land position from found. We went in there, we started looking around, and right from really the get-go, we started finding gold on the surface. Now, what makes this different than the Homestake is it's in limestones and carbonate rocks. It's not in the old Precambrian rocks, mm-hmm. and which was the Homestake formation and what Homestake mined for 120 years. But when you look at the Homestake mine surrounding it, there were carbonate rocks that were well mineralized. The Wharf mine is still being mined today. It's over 8.5 million ounce deposit through its history. And we started finding just super high grade gold values, along with lower grade gold values, obviously. But what still strikes us as amazing, and anyone that's kind of looked at the details from an industry perspective, is that it remained unfound for over 120 years.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, I think you're one of the few people that flew all the way over here with rock samples in your bag, and you were showing them to me. Really cool stuff, like really interesting rock, and you were able to describe that some of the values that you found on surface in these samples. And you mentioned this in prior news releases, things like 171.5 grams per ton in a rock sample, 78.6 grams per ton. I mean, the list just keeps going on and on. But this is all from surface work. I mean, so this is pre-discovery. Now, I don't expect you, Chris. I mean, obviously, you're excited. Geologists are always the most optimistic people in the world. But I don't think you're just going to go get a drill rig now with your permits and wildcat something just to make a point. What else needs to be done on surface here? Geophysics, what kind of data do you need to acquire to really hone in on those targets?
Yeah, we're ready to drill right now, Trevor. Now, okay. We've done a tremendous amount of sampling on the surface, tens of thousands of samples. It's probably the most heavily prospected project in recent history in the United States, the work we've done. So from that perspective, we're ready to go. We're still waiting for permits. We think we're within about a month of getting final approval for the drilling permits. It's 25 platforms that we have proposed, and we can drill up to 5 holes on each platform. So it could be a major drilling program. Right now we're planning on about a 5,000 meter starting program, phase one. If we get successful early on drilling, we'll expand that program greatly, even this year. The other thing that we've done is some geophysics. We'll be testing the results of that geophysics. We have some anomalies there geophysically that we'll test. But before we went really too far on geophysics, we want to make sure it's given us good information, because mm-hmm. geophysics can sometimes be really good for a exploration program, and sometimes it can be a false leader.
Yeah.
So we have to determine that yet. But we're ready to go on our drilling program. We're very excited about it. The grades we see at surface, obviously, not all of them are, you know, right. 50 or 100 gram samples. But I can tell you, in my 40 years of being in exploration, and mostly in gold exploration during that time, I've never seen anything even come close to the surface extent and values that we see at Golden Crest. And some of our industry friends and peers out there, I think they agree with that analysis. In fact, Newmont Mining put $2.5 million into us last August, and it was the first time they put money into a junior in 4 years. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty big endorsement for the largest gold mining company to come in, spend 2 full days on it, and walk away saying this is an important project.
So as an explorationist, where's that first hole going to go, Chris? Where is that discovery in your mind going to be made?
You know, I'm a little bit split on what the first hole is.
Right.
Do you want to test your best target first, or do you want to kind of get your feet on the ground and test, you know, something that's more in the middle of your priority list? Our best target that we have available right now is a target called Downpour. Okay. And Downpour is an unbelievable story almost. You can stand on the outcrop of Downpour. You can see the Wharf mining pit 4 kilometers away on the horizon, and you're standing on a Forest Service road, and we did 5 different trenches there. The first one was 36 meters of 17 grams right in the middle of the Forest Service road. There was a cross-cutting Forest Service road. The second trench was 60 meters of 8.5 grams. And then we had 3 other trenches that were lower grade on the peripheral of that. And when you start off with something like that, yeah. you know, it's kind of all downhill from there, because those are spectacular grades in an area that people have been driving over for 60 years. Mm. So it's a fascinating story, and it's one it's hard to believe that this project's been missed for so many years.
Yeah. So tell me about kind of the depth of this target. How deep do you take these first few holes? You go until you don't have a reason to go anymore?
That would be a good way to put it. But, you know, we know enough about the system, looking at the old district, looking at what we found in our area, we know enough about it to know that our general drill depths are going to be in the 500-meter range.
Okay.
And that we're going to be testing four different limestone or carbonate horizons that we know have gold in them, high-grade gold. We don't know the distribution, the thickness, mm-hmm. the tonnage, or things. That's why you drill. And then we know below these four different horizons that have gold in it, you have the Precambrian, which was where the Homestake mine was. So we had the potential for at least five different zones of gold mineralization, the deepest being the old rocks, Precambrian rocks, that generally are going to be in the 400-meter range.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have to come to a gold forum to say there ain't no discovery like a gold discovery, Chris, and you know that. But it does come with the risk, right? So you're talking about Solitario being back to almost a pre-discovery type of play here. I mean, you do have the zinc projects, and those keeps advancing. The market's paying attention. You've seen a big move in your stock price over the last few weeks. It's been very meaningful, so I think a lot of people are getting positioned, ready for you to hopefully make that discovery. But it, you know, obviously you've got this long career, and it's been a while since you've been in this position, right?
Well, it has. We, you know, Trevor, though, we've had a history of finding what I would call greenfields discoveries, areas that have never been explored well. For instance, the Florida Canyon zinc deposit in Peru. That was a grassroots discovery. No mining, not even a whiff of zinc. It was found with a stream sediment sample that had a little zinc in it.
Yeah.
Our Buckhorn Mountain, which we sold to Kinross Gold for $220 million, that was a virgin discovery. It did have some old prospect pits, but no mining on it. And that was a discovery from day one. So we've been, and there's four or five other smaller size gold deposits mm-hmm. that in aggregate add up to about 4 million ounces of gold, most of which were grassroots discoveries. This is right in our wheelhouse in terms of Golden Crest. And, you know, there's so few companies these days that really know how to explore in areas where you're not already sitting on a resource or there's drill holes in it. It takes some perseverance. I think the thing that I feel good about is we've been able to survive through the ups and downs of early mm-hmm. stage exploration, because if you don't find something, you go out of business. So we've been able to find things every 5 or 10 years, which sounds like a long time, but the rewards can be huge. I mean, the best returns in the mining industry, it isn't mining, it isn't really even detailed drilling and feasibility, it's discovery.
Yep.
And that's where the biggest returns are, that's where we've been, that's where I think this Golden Crest project is. Keep our fingers crossed, no drilling on the project, but the best surface expressions of gold that I've ever seen. And the other geos from companies that have seen this would agree with that.
Well, I'm really excited for you. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I hope we can touch base here this summer after the drill starts turning.
Yeah.
Maybe shortly after a discovery is made.
Boy, I tell you, those are sweet words, and we're going to be, we can't wait for that drilling program to begin. But like I said, you know, until the drill bit is the truth.
Yep, absolutely.
Serum. And I know that. But again, this project just feels right.
All right. Let's leave it at that. Chris Harrell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Trevor.
All right. All right, that is your, I guess, reintroduction to Solitario Resources. We're going to be paying close attention because we always like to watch discoveries being made, don't we? They do trade on the NYSE American with XPL and on the TSX with SLR.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.